Thank you, Dr. Woodall. That was really wonderful, and I'm pleased to be able to follow you today and speak to the social workers and other multidisciplinary team members on the line to talk about how to take this very important information and turn it into interventions that can improve wellness behavior or positive health behavior in our patients. I'm also very glad that we have many dialysis social workers on the line as well as transplant social workers, because as Kathy has said, we've found in some of our wellness program, especially in our program called Preparing for Transplant, that there was a lot that we as social workers could do in the dialysis setting to help patients look ahead and use that waiting time well in preparing for these kinds of new behaviors they're going to need to live long and live well. I think that what we want to do today is set the goal of being able to present present a risk to our patients, help them face a risk, and help them remain aware of a risk while still feeling mastery and confidence in being able to manage the risk. And that's a kind of a slippery slope to work on. And what we want to do is look today at several approaches that you can take in your busy, busy practice, very brief approaches to making that happen. What I want to say first, and I know I've got about 15 minutes to go over some different approaches with you, is that it doesn't take a long time and it doesn't take a lot of skill to put into place interventions that help with this goal. You might be saying to yourself, well, gee, shouldn't the transplant nurse or the transplant physician or the transplant nephrologist or even a primary care provider be doing this type of education with our patients? And what we've found is that the nephrology social worker has a very different approach as an educational reinforcer. And in most of our wellness programs, we've had just excellent results and have had many patients say, well, I've never quite heard the information that way before. And the reason for that is that we speak from a lay level. We also attend, as social workers, to the emotional part of learning and to the psychosocial behavioral part of learning. We do that just very naturally. So when they hear information, when patients hear information from us, it feels a little different. It goes to a little different level, and it becomes very reinforcing in everything a physician and a nurse have already said. So I think that's why the role of the nephrology social worker and wellness program has grown so large, and probably as in disease management models ahead will become even larger. So I'd like to now just spend some time looking at the different choices you might have as a dialysis social worker or a transplant social worker to use the information that Dr. Woodall's provided today. I think first and foremost, it would be helpful to carve out what I would call a rehearsal for yourself. And that is to just take some time to get something worded for yourself that takes about 3 to 4 minutes to deliver that you know very well, that feels really right to you, that feels really comfortable and in your own language. For me, as I sat thinking about what I might say in your position, it would be something like this to a patient. I participated in a training recently, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about it and give you some literature to take home. How much have you been told or thought about preventing cancer once you receive your kidney transplant or now that you've been transplanted? It kind of compels a patient now to listen to you, be interested in something that's recent and new and sort of cutting edge. It begins to spur their interest in what you're about to say. And they're posed to think about something as you ask them that question. So that kind of introduction takes about 15 seconds, but it really teases a patient into that compelling moment of learning. That's very, very important for delivering a wellness message. Then you want to move forward from that point and let them know that maybe from the survey that a lot of patients had reported they had had very little information. And they were actually a little frustrated that people hadn't spent more time talking to them about the risk of cancer. And the truth is that they are at increased risk of getting cancer after their transplant. but that the experts tell us not to get too alarmed about that. That still, most patients with kidney disease are at much less risk of cancer than they are of cardiovascular disease if they don't get their transplant. And the kind of risk that they're facing is the kind of risk we face when we go get our driver's license. That we know when we walk in that out of that door of the Department of Motor Vehicles, that we now have the keys to a car. We're going to be driving on the freeway a lot more. We're going to be out there. We know traffic accidents happen. We have just decided to increase our risk that we're going to have an automobile accident. But clearly, that risk is really worth taking for our quality of life. And the most important thing we're doing as we take that risk is we're learning how to reduce the risk. So we're learning to drive safe, not tailgate, watch out for crazy drivers. That's similar to the message they're going to be taking from you today, is that they're going to know they're going to be at increased risk, and they're going to create some behaviors to reduce their risk. So that's about a 3 to 5 minute conversation that is compelling and invites them into really examining something briefly and safely with you as a nephrology social worker. Beyond that, in the pamphlet that you've received called Reducing Cancer Risk After Transplantation, everything they need to know is on one little page, and that's page 9, where everything Dr. Woodall just talked about is summarized beautifully under something called Key Points to Remember. So if you're looking at just using your office time, your unplanned contact with patients, your time when you're assessing patients, or you're just rolling around the dialysis floor talking to patients, that would be the kind of time to use this kind of intervention. And they have seen in the healthcare literature that 3 to 5 minutes of this type of wellness counseling goes a long way. So that's the very least and simplest kind of way that you can start to reinforce this message out in your practice. And beyond that, there's a lot of different fun ways to look at doing it. One would be to just turn this information around and have a one-evening program for patients that are preparing for transplant or patients that are already transplanted. And during that kind of a program, you could play this, you could download this MP3 that we're recording today and play Dr. Woodall's section, which is very beautifully done and very patient-friendly in its language. And you could then have facilitated discussion around the key points to remember on page 9 of that pamphlet. You could also do this in terms of a teleconference with your own patients. You could do this in terms of giving the CD out to patients and having them call back in and having a teleconference to discuss what the CD said. So there's a lot of different ways to program and follow up with these kind of messages. I think the important thing about programming after delivering the information, whether it's in a live group or in your office in a brief moment or on a teleconference, is to have them then spend a little bit more time with individualizing their wellness plan. And this is one thing we've learned as we've delivered a lot of wellness programs, is the three most important parts of delivering a wellness program are, one, inviting them in to take control. Inviting a patient in to take control over their health outcomes. That's a very important invitation to let them know how important they are in living long and living well, and that we can only do so much, and the rest is going to be up to them. The second part of an effective program is what we just talked about. It's engaging them and giving them tips and key points and teaching them the what, where, when, why, and how stuff that's important to make the wellness behavior happen. And the third most important thing is to leave them launched out with something in their minds that's the most simple and directed how they can change, create change in their behavior. So I'd say before you end any discussion with them or before you end any group or teleconference training, is to have them take that page 9 of that beautiful pamphlet with the key points to remember and have them actually circle the behaviors and the situations on that key points to remember that might be toughest for them, to actually think out which of these might I be at risk of forgetting or not doing, which of these might be the hardest for me, and to have them then isolate those as their area of focus and create some steps for themselves to make sure they remember. So all in all, with all these interventions, you could have either a 3 to 5 minute conversation, a full hour class with discussion, or a teleconference training. And with all of them, you could end with their own individualized wellness plan to keep themselves healthy and living well. And I think with that, I'm going to open it up for questions and answers and have Kathy facilitate that.